such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, hi everybody, and welcome. Yeah, something in my throat here.
So. It happens.
Anyway, it happens. TGIF, thank God it's Friday.
Yay.
Welcome, and I am your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. How you doing, Tony?
I guess I'm all right.
You're all right. You're all right.
I'm all right.
And Nick is doing fine over there, and I hope everybody else is too. Winter's come back, right? We had a wonderful, wonderful some days of spring, or felt like spring, didn't it? Crazy thing, you know, because I was in my car. Was it Sunday? I think it might have been. It was over the weekend because I haven't been in my car since Monday because we had a priest visiting, and so I gave him the car to use, and I had a lot of work to do inside anyway, so I didn't get out at all. But this whole week, but it's funny how you in your mind. Thank you, Jasmine. Got my coffee here now. So.
Oh no, I'm good. Thank you. Yeah. But thanks for thinking of me. Okay, I just called. I feel terrible. I'm using your secretary, Father.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Thanks, Jasmine. But
I
feel special.
Well, I've asked you before if you
wanted coffee. I know, but I didn't. I felt like, okay.
Get you coffee if you want coffee.
Right. I just felt like I didn't want to impose. But it's good. It's good.
Never in a position, but very good. This is great coffee.
Great.
Okay. This is like an espresso.
Right. Yeah.
So, I was in the... was coming home. I had just taken a ride. It was Saturday. Oh, it was Saturday. It was Saturday. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. We had been in retreat in the morning, and then I had about a 2-hour window before the wedding, and so a wedding that I had. So I took usually a 45-minute ride just to get out because I live where I work, and it was so beautiful. It was so summer-like or spring-like. And I came back and I saw my gloves, you know, because I keep my gloves in the car. And I thought, gosh, I should really get these out. You know, I'm thinking, you know, winter is over, right?
Yeah.
So I should put these gloves away. You know, it's about time to put the gloves away now. And then I said, no, reality check. You know, this is just a little glitch. And it was. But we enjoyed it while it lasted.
I don't know. This time I usually spend working and not paying attention that the leaves come down or it's gotten nice.
You gotta pay attention to
and
that.
This year I have. I guess it's due to, you know, whatever's going on in the world. But I take that, like you said, when it got a little warmer, I stopped and I was outside. I was trying to get out of and just do things that I would normally not do. But this is a dangerous time for me too because I like it. But then when it goes cold to hot or hot to cold, I get this cold.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
And I get it freaks me out because it's like, okay, well, wait, maybe it's something more than that, but it's usually my sinuses and that. And I know
this year you got to deal with the COVID, right?
Yeah. So it's like
everybody's. Yeah, you don't hear so much about colds or about the flu. You only hear about the COVID now,
which
right?
I think now that we're on it, I think that's why a lot of this outbreak now is cold. I mean,
cold
or flu.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I did the same thing. I got really, really scared, but it was just sinuses and things like that.
Get ready for the lockdown because
it's coming.
And evidently, now you're not supposed to. No more Thanksgiving. You have to have limited number of people.
Right.
Only with the people that live under the roof of your home, I think.
It's funny. My little niece, I would always, well, actually, my nieces and nephews, we'd play always like, well, Christmas is canceled. And I was doing this way back then,
yeah.
you know, before it was like this. And I'm like, I feel bad now because it's like I brought this up because I knew they were going to do that, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas is canceled.
Weird. Strange.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's who knows what are the forces or the powers.
And you're still caught
us.
Between that. I want to do what's right, but then I don't know what's right because I hear all these different views.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're just and nobody wants to be responsible for somebody else getting
exactly.
sick. You know.
Yeah.
So we're all made to. Well, anyway, it is what it is. And will we ever get through this? I don't think so. I think this is forever.
I think so too.
I hate to say it, I think it's forever. Because what happens when the next virus comes around, or is this virus ever going to go away? It's just like it. And I'm not really privy mm-hmm. to this stuff, but the COVID isn't it a strain of the cold?
Yeah.
It's in the same...
It's like the SARS and the...
Yeah.
You know, it's the same kind of respiratory illness, which is, again, I don't know.
So it's always going to be. It's always going to be.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, let's pray. We won't waste much more time before we pray. Otherwise, we do what we always do, you know. We get way into the show and then...
We forget.
Not that we forget. It's just
right. We delay.
It's the
Should
devil
be the first
keeps us from
thing,
doing this. What we're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
The devil made me do it. Who was that? Flip Wilson.
Yeah,
yeah. Is he still alive?
No, he's not.
No.
Those were good times, though.
Those were the days. Yeah. Those were the days, my friend.
Those were the days.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us
sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother Most Pure,
pray for us.
Mother Most Chaste,
pray for us.
Mother Inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother Undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother Most Amiable,
pray for us.
Mother Most Admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of Good Counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of Justice,
pray for us.
Seat of Wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our Joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual Vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of Honor,
pray for us.
Singular Vessel of Devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical Rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of Ivory,
pray for us.
House of Gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the Covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of Heaven,
pray for us.
Morning Star,
pray for us.
Health of the Sick,
Pray for us.
Refuge of sinners.
Pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted.
Pray for us.
Help of Christians.
Pray for us.
Queen of angels.
Pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs.
Pray for us.
Queen of prophets.
Pray for us.
Queen of apostles.
Pray for us.
Queen of martyrs.
Pray for us.
Queen of confessors.
Pray for us.
Queen of virgins.
Pray for us.
Queen of all saints.
Pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin.
Pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven.
Pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary.
Pray for us.
Queen of the family.
Pray for us.
Queen of peace.
Pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. And for our nation we pray, O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of marriage and family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petition, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So, what do we do? Where do we go today? The readings. So, how? What do you? I'm going to maybe put you on the spot here, but so this is a month of November, and I think yesterday we spoke a bit about this because it's we talked a little bit about the the parable of the foolish the 10 virgins, the wise, the foolish, the wise, five wise and five foolish, and the gospel ended. In other words, they were waiting for the bridegroom to come, and so they had to have their lamps burning bright. The foolish ones were they neglected their duties, their responsibility, because really the light of the lamp, the fire burning in that lamp is a metaphor for the Holy Spirit, but it's and that really it's by the Spirit of God that we remain sensitive to God and to the things of God and to all things sacred and a sensitivity to sin. So it's if we're participating in the sacramental life of the church, if we're keeping the commandments of God, if we're consistent and persevering in prayer, because it's how we nurture our relationship with God. If we we talked about that pure prayer, which is really the prayer of Jesus, Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. The purest prayer is the prayer of the Holy Mass, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's all centered in and around the sacrifice, the whole Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection, ascension, and the descent of the Holy Spirit. That would be the full Paschal mystery. So this is, in a word, our salvation, our redemption. And so we want to keep ourselves attuned or grounded in that sacred reality, that sacred hour, that messianic hour, which is perpetuated through the sacraments until Jesus comes at the end of time. But it's and the foolish virgins who didn't have their lamps burning in anticipation of the bridegroom's coming. The bridegroom, of course, is Jesus, who will come at the end of time. The virgins represent the church in her holiness, waiting. But the church is made up of members, the mystical body. We're members of that body by virtue of baptism, and we have an obligation, responsibility to live in anticipation of the coming of Christ at the end of all things, at the end of time. And so when he comes, he has to, you know, that the Spirit has to be the fire of the Spirit burning within us. And so the foolish virgins were those who neglected their responsibilities, and they didn't, they did nothing to keep that lamp burning. They had no oil. They were out of oil, and while they were all of a sudden at the very end scurrying about trying to, you know, the word was out, right, that he's on his way, but they had no oil, so they scurry about trying to find oil. By the time they get back, it's too late. The door is shut, and they're saying, "Lord, Lord, open for us." And the Lord says, "You know, I'm sorry, but I don't know you. The door was locked." And Jesus concludes the gospel by saying, "You know not the day nor the hour," or what is it? He said, "Be prepared, for you know not the day nor the hour." Something to that effect, right? So basically, the readings we're listening to these days all reflect the same basic theme. That we are to be prepared and vigilant, awake, and that we're when he comes, that we're basically living the faith. There's a saint that once, well, he was asked once, I don't know, remember what saint it was, but he was asked if he was a monk, and so the friars or the other monks asked, you know, and they were having a conversation. They said to him, they said, "If you knew that God was coming for you," because remember, Jesus says, "I go to my Father and your Father there to prepare a place for you, and I will come for you at the appointed time." And again, we don't know the day or the hour, but we know that even before he comes at the end of time, there will come a point in time when we're called out of this life into the next, and that's a given, right? That's a fact. So sometimes the saints wisely say that we should always keep that before us, so that we live a holy life. But it's not something, because we're so caught up in the work of life, and life is so full of distraction, that we don't always think about that. We read about it, and it's always a tragedy. When you read about these horrible things that happen, as I mentioned the other day, I had a grandmother and a mother who both died in a car accident. They were hit by a drunk driver. You know, there was no preparation for that. There was no possibility to say goodbye. You know, it's just those are horrible tragedies, but they do happen, and they happen every day, and. So at some point, something will bring us from here to there. We hope there is heaven. That would be our desire. But we have to, in the meantime, be prepared. So this whole, the whole theme of this month of November, which is began with All Saints Day and then the commemoration the day after the faithful departed, those who died in the grace of God, in friendship with God, but had still had to undergo the a final purgation to be purged of any inordinate attachment to this world, or to make recompense for their sins and the like, and because there has to be retribution, recompense, repair, reparation, in that sense, and we have to let go. We can't take any the stain of sin can't be received into heaven, otherwise heaven would not be heaven. But if we die in God's grace and friendship with God, then, you know, we're not, those who are in purgatory are not going to hell. Hell is, I think I mentioned that yesterday, would be the absence of God. It's that we've, God has done everything and everything he could to reveal himself, and to, he desires grace sufficient for everybody. But, you know, love needs a response. We can't be forced to love God. God's love is most beautifully and most perfectly made manifest in so far as he took on our flesh, suffered all that we suffer. He who didn't sin was made sin. He took our sins to himself. And from the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And even the cry from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But in the next breath, into your hands I commend my spirit. You know, so that in life, you know, people, we've all had that experience where we cry out from the depths of our hearts, from that inner sanctuary within us, you know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oftentimes, not oftentimes, but from time to time we may feel that. But we, imitating Jesus, we put our trust in God, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he sees us through. But the point being that he didn't spare himself anything. And we have to, you know, we follow that same path. So the question, and what is the question? Here I go, Tony. I'm all over the place. I'm,
it's good.
What was the point that I wanted to make? All these things come into my head, as happens all the time. Well, I guess reality is reality, mm-hmm. right? So how are we prepared? Here's the point I was going to make. We're in November. This is the month where we reflect on last things. I think we talked about this mm-hmm. yesterday. So that we started talking about the leaves.
Right.
By the way, I think this year the leaves are more beautiful than they have been in past, because I've noticed it too. You know, mm-hmm. I notice maybe we've had a longer autumn for some reason. Sometimes it comes and goes in at the snap of a finger, mm-hmm. or maybe it's just we're just.
I think we're more aware of it. That's even my thing, too, now. It's like I never realized how beautiful.
But why are you more aware of it now?
I don't know. Maybe it's just because, maybe I'm getting older. Maybe it's just slowing down. Or maybe I have the time now. Maybe.
Perhaps that's a point.
God allows me the time to.
Yeah. I just noticed, and I don't know what it's like now because I haven't been out this week, but. Mm-hmm. But I've just noticed that the trees, now, although the tree outside my window has no leaves,
right.
It's gone. It happened all very fast with the wind.
And see, that's the one thing I never, when I'm doing whatever I'm doing and days go by, you don't see them all coming down. But you notice, and that's the one thing I've been doing now, I look for that more. Like I looked at, okay, the trees are, okay, some of the leaves are down. Then the next day, okay, a lot more of them. And I'm watching that more. And
yeah.
I never used to do that.
So the trees along Michigan Avenue, once you get mm-hmm. south, you go south away from Roosevelt and coming up State Street. And then they were doing work on Michigan Avenue. So Prairie, I think was it Prairie or what's that? The next street over to the east. I want to say Prairie. But anyway, it's... It was just beautiful because there was a detour,
right.
And I had to take that. And it was, wow, these are just the beautiful, beautiful trees and beautiful leaves. The colors were just so rich this year. But it's as we were talking yesterday, it's during this time, the you know, it's not going to stay. So all this fantastic, beautiful manifestation, and we behold this beauty, but it's as if God is saying, you know, let the death come. It has to come. And no sooner do we enjoy that than the trees, the leaves, they fall from the trees, and we find ourselves in the dead of winter.
And especially leaves. I mean, you almost, and that's what I find myself doing to this year more than before. You see them at first coming down, but by the next time you look, it's half gone.
They're gone.
And then I look today, and it's pretty much all of them are off.
Are they gone now?
Yeah.
So we're
for
there.
Me, but we're my, you know.
Yeah, in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, my neck of the woods.
I'm going to try to take a ride this afternoon, so I'll see what's going on in my neck of the woods.
And so I think also, because this year has been, or this month has been still kind of warm. I mean, I think that has to do with it. The leaves usually start coming down when it gets colder, I think.
Yeah, maybe. There's a point when they just naturally drop. But if you got a wind, you know, a strong wind, and we've had some strong wind, that kind of,
I guess when the rain came down too, it helps it.
Exactly. One of the most beautiful places in Chicago, in the Chicagoland area, is Mundelein Seminary. I used to make retreat out there. We used to go once a month as a priest when I was at St. Hyacinth's. In the first few years that I was here, we'd go once a month. There's a priest retreat house. That's where the seminary is. But there's a priest retreat house that is kind of hidden away in the woods. And then there's this man-made lake, but it's huge, a huge lake in front of the seminary. And it is really one of the most beautiful places through all the seasons, but autumn especially, because it's just a beautiful forest and deer, lots of deer, just beautiful. But anyway, that those leaves, they drop dead. Death comes to the earth. It's cold. It's barren. It's dark. You know, winter is the days are certainly shorter. And but as always happens, you know, you feel again the warmth of the sun. You see the blue of the sky and the green of the grass, and you smell the fragrance of the flowers. It's the law of life that before one can really live, one has to die, and death is necessary. It has to come to all of us in order for us to enter into the fullness of life, where all the tears are wiped away. And as scriptures, I feel like I'm repeating the show we had yesterday.
It's good to hear again.
But that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love him. But again, that goes back to the wise virgins who await the bridegroom. The foolish, you know, obviously they weren't so concerned about the coming of the bridegroom until they realized that everything was going to be taken away and he was coming, right? We don't want to be caught off guard. And that's kind of the theme through the whole of November, is to be prepared, be vigilant, awake and waiting. And that'll be the whole theme that as we end the year, we enter into the season of Advent with the very same theme leading up to the season of Christmas.
You know, I also kind of think it's a practice, and I don't know what your question was that you were going
to
ask me, I've been thinking. It's funny though, because as you're speaking, I'm thinking about it, and I'm also thinking about how things. I guess this is a time when you think of, you know, endings, but then you think of, well, of course, you don't want to be. It's morbid to think that, you know, God forbid, it's your ending, but it's that feeling of, will you kind of take it upon yourself to, I don't want to say practice, but try to think about these things. And we don't. You go through life, you're quick, you know, you're taking care of kids, you're working, bills, whatever the case. But the fact that you press yourself, I think it's, and I don't know why this has come to my mind, because I was thinking actually of the first sorrowful mystery where Jesus, you know, he knows it's coming.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's like, okay, well, if you think of anything in a bad way, whether it's a death in the family or something, it's easy to run away from it. Oh, I can't do it. But God gives us the grace.
The grace,
even more so than that. And to bring it to this November where it's sad to have to put yourself through this, but actually it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to think about these things, because when it comes and you don't have the thinking, then I think it's I don't know if it makes any sense. It's not, you can't bear it. I think the
or
Lord.
You can.
You can.
You can.
I mean, you can. I mean,
you do. Yeah.
You can bear with anything. But when it comes and you haven't, I think sometimes the Lord prepares us. And this is probably the time that's so good that the Lord does prepare us, because it's like you said, there's a beginning, there's an end. The season goes, and, you know,
yeah.
The reality of it is it may be our end now.
Yeah.
And you prepare it. You think about it. And I don't know if I made any sense.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good question. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and let's come back to that. And that is, you know, this idea of being prepared.
Right.
Does God prepare us? Are we prepared? Don't let me lose this thought either, because I think of just take a given day in your life, just a given day in your life, from the time you wake up in the morning until the time you go to bed at the end of the day. Let's just hold on to that, and then also this idea of being prepared and come back, because this is all in keeping with the same, this whole reality of this reality that will visit all of us at some point in time. All right, everybody, stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You are invited to a series of Father Anthony's reflections on prayer entitled Lex Orandi, Lex Credendi, Lex Vivendi. As we pray, so we believe. As we believe, so we live. These reflections will be presented each Thursday during Lent on Winds of Change. Join us at noon weekdays on AM 750. You can also download the podcast and listen anytime to Winds of Change.
We are the students of St. Stan's Acosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the 3 pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So let's go back to that, you're being prepared.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, you use the word morbid, you know, for I suspect for many people, you know, to talk about death is a morbid topic. And yet I think a lot of people actually ponder these things because we're always shocked by the things we see, and it's the mystery of all mysteries, isn't it really? But this idea of prepared. But let me just go back before we go into that. I sometimes think about you just take a day in your life, a given day. You wake up in the morning. I always think of waking up and getting out of bed is like going through the birth canal, because you just don't the sanctuary, the womb of your mother. You're content.
And don't want to leave.
You don't want to leave. It's a beautiful place. Not that we all remember. We don't. But I'm just thinking. Right. You know. But being born, you got to be born into this new day. Everybody has to wake up and get into what? But the work of life. And so you have to convince yourself to. Like I say, people normally don't. you know, jump out of bed and say, hip, hip, hooray, it's a new day. It's and if you do, God bless you. But I find that sometimes that's the worst part of the day is just trying to force myself to get started. And especially, you know, when the days are, when it's dark and it's cold and all that kind of stuff. But you get into the work of the day, and then, you know, you really get into it, and you're there's something to do. Everybody's got, I think every day is work for everybody, whether you've got a job or not, you know.
I wonder if people think about that. I mean, really, really think about it in the way that it's said. It's work. It's not supposed to be easy. And then it's not even what we want,
right?
You know, I'd like to get up and say, hip, hip, hooray, it's, you know, a wonderful day and everything's good. But it, in reality, it doesn't work that
way. Yeah, so aside from the fact that you've got your job, whatever that job may be, or you've got to raise the children, or you've got to, but there's also these other things that, you know, you got to put gas in the car, you got to wash your clothes, you got to prepare your food, you know, all this kind of stuff. Even, I guess we're really spoiled because we got microwave ovens and you, people, you know, take advantage of fast food and all that. You think there was a time when you didn't have any of that stuff. You know, people, everything was prepared right there in the home.
It's funny. I think about that now, too, because if we decide to lock down and things like that, then that's a quick way for people to go out and get whatever. It becomes a takeout, pickup, takeout.
Sure.
And then I think, is that really helping? Because it shouldn't be that way. At one time, it's like you're not supposed to have all the McDonald's and the Burger King. That's only like a treat every once in a while. But if that's where we're at, people's only thing is, okay, I got to go pick it up. I can't eat in the restaurant. You know, and I don't have the time sometimes.
Yeah, but you know, this is maybe we're not really getting off topic because I do want to make a point here. But there was a time, I mean, when we were kids, we never went out to eat.
No.
Never.
No.
And if we went to McDonald's, it was once, maybe once a year that we went to McDonald's.
And of course, I hate to say it, back then there wasn't all these problems that we have now. So people say that, you know, that's not a good thing to do.
So I'm thinking about that, too. I'm thinking about, like, my mother, who had eight kids, eight children, and had to wash her clothes in one of these wringers where you had to, I remember it was the clothes would have to go through this, you had to squeeze.
Pins.
Do you know? Yeah, exactly.
Like bowling pins.
Yeah, exactly. You remember that?
Yeah, I had one in the basement.
And then hang the clothes on the line, and then the clothes had to be ironed. And I mean, that just that in and of itself was, I guess the point I'm making that even today, you know, with all the, we're probably more stressed out now than people back then because we've got all these gadgets. And so we can't keep up with all the emails and the phone calls and the information. We're just inundated with information. And then everybody's got their responsibilities that have to be fulfilled in the course of a day. And we get a little bit of a respite here and there. You would hope, because you just can't keep going. There's got to be a little bit of a respite. And certainly, it would be nice if we would observe the Sabbath. You know, that Sunday would be a day of rest for everybody. It would help us, I think, mentally. It would be a great help, and spiritually as well. But the point I'm making is that you come to the end of the day, and you're dead tired, and you just want to go to bed and, you know, go to sleep. And I think sometimes that's how life is, you know, so that you come to the end of your life and you've expended all this energy and you've had peaks and valleys and good times and bad times and happy times and sad times and periods of light and periods of dark. I mean, the adventure of life, right? When you think about it, I've maybe mentioned this before, but I, for some reason, it stays with me. Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis said soon before she died, and she died quite young. She was in her early 60s, I believe. Mm. And, you know, her husband had been, who was a president, John F. Kennedy. But I mean, she was a wealthy woman and all that. But the point is that she, at the end of her life, she said, "The miracle of life is that we survive." that we survive all the tragedies. And Rosemary Kennedy, actually John F. Kennedy's, the matriarch of the Kennedy family, lived to be over 100 years old.
Oh.
And she, I remember in an interview with her, they asked how she survived because she buried how many children in all tragedies. She had a Down syndrome daughter, and two of her sons were assassinated. One son was killed in a plane crash in the war, I believe. I think that was Joseph. Her husband, I'm not going to say anything about her husband, but, you know, anyway, the point, was he a philanthropist? I don't know. I don't, that's smut. You just read these things. But she was asked, you know, how did you survive all this? And she simply held up the rosary.
Wow.
And she said the rosary was her, that's why I always say the rosary is a chain that binds us to God. But you know, it was like the prophet Simeon, who when the old man who awaited the Messiah, he was promised by the Holy Spirit. God promised him that he would not die without having seen the Messiah. And when the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph bring Jesus to the temple, it just is these just beautiful words. And I would hope that we would all be able to say this. You know, that he says, you know, Master, now let your servant die in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation of my people. But it was, you know, the end of the twilight hour of his life, and he could die in peace for having kept the faith, having been close to the temple, and then having seen the Messiah. But it wasn't just the fact that he saw the Messiah, but it was that his by the grace of the Spirit, it would be a profession of faith. Remember, we talked about this yesterday, I think, as well, or was it yesterday? I suppose it was on the feast of Saint Leo, when Peter Simon makes this profession of faith when Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" Prior to that, it was only the demons, but actually, you know, Simeon identified Jesus, you know. So I have to backtrack what I've been saying, that it was only the demons who were, because the demons, certainly, they were the first to identify. Mm-hmm. They knew who he was. Others didn't know. And even Peter, once he makes his profession of faith, does he fully understand the, you know, the, because he said, when Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter said, Simon says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ means Savior, Messiah. But how do we understand the Messiah? How do we understand the Christ? Because they awaited the Messiah. They awaited the Christ, the Anawim, the little remnant, the flock who kept faith. But did they understand that the Messiah would be God in the flesh? So we're already jumping into the Advent and into the Christmas, but Simeon certainly, you know, my eyes have seen the Messiah, the salvation of my people. So there was this this sense, which should be for all of us, that my people are okay. They're going to be okay, and people often. And I've seen this, I've witnessed this as well, when somebody has come to the end of their life and or they're holding on until they know that somehow everybody's going to be okay, or somehow they're going to get on with life. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now that's a far cry from those like this grandmother and mother who died you know, instantly, without there was no preparation. Now, preparation, but did God somehow mysteriously in the interior of their lives prepare them? That's a good question. I don't have an answer for that. Mm-hmm. But how would you prepare? How would you be prepared?
I don't think you're ever prepared. I mean, I don't think you're ever prepared. I mean, I think...
Because you said something earlier. You said, mm-hmm. you know, when when the end comes, but that end is really for us, for as Christians, the mm-hmm. end is a beginning.
Yeah, I think God gives us the graces, and I think, and maybe because I'm becoming aware of it too, maybe, you know, again, that is a grace. And I think even for this, it's what I was thinking about this November and the end of all things, or, you know, when you think about even the seasons, I mean, how often do people even think that, okay, it gets cold and everything dies and sun comes out, spring comes, and it's, I don't think people pay attention to it, but I think that's the lesson even that we as Catholics, you know, you should think about.
Sure.
And this, again, I'm repeating myself, November is that time. And it seems that even, and maybe for me, again, going back to me, which I don't really want to do, but I'm trying to figure this out myself. Every November, I want to think about these things, but I'm right. too busy or times have changed. And this is just one of those things where I guess it is the grace where you can actually sit and see
it's necessary.
The beauty and the sense of it.
Yeah, 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 exactly. I think there's a
I wish more people understood this, not that we sit here and we think of death every day, but in a way,
there's something. There is a certain consolation. Yeah. There's something. You're right. There's something about November that puts things in perspective, and maybe mm-hmm. because we start with the Feast of All Saints, and that you know the end is again, it's a transition mm-hmm. from this life into the next, and it's a challenge. You know, we got to be. You know, that, yes, we want to be prepared. What does that mean? But that we're living in God's grace. That we're fulfilling the commandments of God, that we're taking care of each other, because that's how we prepare. That's how we're found ready. I think of the we'll take a break. I want to come back and I want to the Lord of the Rings, because there's this which is a Catholic mm-hmm. story. I mean, this is a like a Catholic this triptych parable, the Lord of the Rings. And let's, anyway, just write it down so I don't forget, because I know how my head is. My mind is all over the place all the time. So we'll take a break, a final break, and then we'll come back and want to talk about this and then maybe very quickly go through some of the scripture that we're listening to in these days, which are really quite interesting, something to ponder as well. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony, listening to Listen, Support, and Win to Change on AM 750 WNDC.
Have you thought about the importance of almsgiving this Lent? The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops teaches us that during Lent, we are asked to focus more intently on almsgiving. In the Book of Tobit, the Archangel Raphael gives great counsel to Tobit and his son Tobias that you and I should heed as well. Quote, "Prayers with fasting and alms with right conduct are better than riches with iniquity. Better to practice almsgiving than to hoard up gold," end quote. And he adds, now listen to this astounding promise. Almsgiving saves from death and purges every kind of sin. Those who give alms have their fill of days. Wow, I'm in. How about you? I'm Jim Littleton, forming faithful families. God love you.
You are invited to a series of Father Anthony's reflections on prayer entitled Lex Orandi, Lex Credendi, Lex Vivendi. As we pray, so we believe. As we believe, so we live. These reflections will be presented each Thursday during Lent on Winds of Change. Join us at noon, weekdays on AM 750. You can also download the podcast and listen anytime to Winds of Change.
We are the students of St. Stan LaCosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we kind of wrap up this week. And but I want to go make mention of the Lord of the Rings, because and this is, you know, Frodo is the kind of the principal character. I mean, right. this is a triptych Catholic parable. It's really quite fascinating. I mean, I like it very much. And but Frodo was wounded. First of all, they're on this, they're in this journey. I'm not going to go through the whole. Mm-hmm. Most people know the story, but it's I love the character of Frodo, because he's got the ring and he's got a mission that he's got to fulfill. Now, he can't do it by himself. He needs the fellowship, right? Mm-hmm. They need he's got all these comrades, and then he's got, of course, Samwise. Ganji, is that it? Ganji, is that right? Yeah. And then you get these sinister characters there, and then you've got the dark forces, and you know it's the whole apocalyptic. Yeah. It's a book of Revelation, really. Is basically what it is. And again, as the book begins, I, John, your brother, share with you the distress, the kingdom, the endurance we have in Christ Jesus, and it all points to the return of the King, which is really the what we're talking about in November is and. November. The year will end with the feast of Christ the King, mm-hmm. and then we go right back into the call to be vigilant, to be waiting, because we're still here. But Frodo is wounded on the way. If you remember, right, he's wounded, and it's a wound that he bears through the rest of the journey. It's the sword that went into his. Into his upper chest, mm-hmm. And so he suffers that. Every so often it flares up, right? And we've all been wounded. Everybody's mm-hmm. been wounded. It's in the nature of the world to wound us, and wounds we carry with us through the whole of our life journey. And they may disappear. They may seem to be, but they reemerge from time to time. It could be mental. It could be physical. It could be psychological. It could be spiritual. Whatever. Wounding, we're all wounded people, right? And Jesus is the wounded healer. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the journey, after it's all over and he succeeds, but doesn't succeed in all reality, but does, because he pulls back at the very end. But again, this is where grace comes in and the mission is accomplished. And he ends up back in the Shire, and he's writing the story. And he gets to the end, and there's that scene where he's suffering that wound that was inflicted. You know, he's been on this journey, this away from home, right? But he's come back home, but he's not home, you know, because he's changed by what has happened in the course of his life. And so he kind of closes the book, and he presses his hand to his this upper part of his chest, and you can see that he's in deep pain. And then, of course, Bilbo Baggins, his uncle, is making his final journey, which is it's all in reference to the fact, and he's an old man, Bilbo Baggins, and so it's all this is a metaphor for his passing from this life into the next. And so they all go to see him off, you know. He gets into the boat, and then there's, of course, Gandalf and what's the woman's name? She really represents the Blessed Virgin Mary, Galadriel, or I don't remember the name. But anyway, so they're there, and so you get this and then, of course, the other hobbits mm-hmm. are all there, and then all of a sudden Gandalf says, who Gandalf kind of represents maybe the Pope or the Christ figure or a very godly man, very wise man. So he's in almost in the priestly garbs, the garbs of a Roman Catholic priest, you know, as he's standing there and old and wise. And he says, so they're all bidding farewell to Bilbo Baggins. Mm-hmm. And then he says, Frodo, it's time. And Frodo knew it was time. And he's young, right? I mean, he's a hobbit, so young is not, it's
right.
What we, but he's, you know, they look like teenagers, right. Young in their late teens or whatever. And so everybody's, you know, they're crying and they're saying goodbye because they realize, no, what is, it can't be, you know, it can't be. But he bids farewell to his friends. There's tears and all that. And then he gets into the boat and it sails away. It sails away. And why do I bring that up? I think it's because, you know, it's the battle of life, the journey of life, the adventure. And it is a journey. Life is a journey. And we do survive. We do survive if we keep the faith. If we keep the faith, and I mean this all in all sincerity, we've got to keep faith. And especially in a time like ours, we were just saying this during the break, mm-hmm. when you know the church is going to its own, I call it its own little dark night, maybe not a little dark night, a big dark night, and there just seems to be all these evil forces all around us, outside us, within us, with the infiltration into all institutions, even into the sacred institution of the church. I was going to go into this today and didn't get a chance, but I got an email from one of our parishioners, and she was just completely, so sincerely suffering this whole McCarrick scandal. And why? And how do we teach our, all this stuff? And my only response is that there is a dark side. There's a dark side to all things, this side of death, even to the church. The church, her holiness is in heaven. And we're called to holiness of life. But, remember, Jesus, one of the 12, sold him out. And Jesus said, in this world, you will not avoid scandal, but woe to him who brings scandal and disturbs the faith of the innocent. Better that a millstone be tied to his neck, he be thrown in the sea and drowned. This is very harsh words, some of the harshest words that Jesus speaks, but in defense of the innocent, and there's no justification for the harm done to so many, no justification for any cover-up, for anything, and there's more... So much I'd like to say about that, but the point is that we have to understand the blessed faith of the Anawim. It's the humble, the simple people who keep faith, and we suffer the faith because I'm sorry we're at the end of the show, but and I didn't get to the scriptures, but we will when I get back from Rochester, mm-hmm. because it's going to continue for that last week, but. Remember, we have to go down that Via Dolorosa, that path, follow Jesus, and suffer the faith. And in this, we're bearing the sins of others. In this, we participate in the sufferings of Christ. And in the end, it'll seem that we've been destroyed or lost, but God will come and claim what is His own. And we're bearing those who are indifferent or hostile, or who don't have the faith. So, I don't know. Take that with you as you go into the weekend. Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Become so obscure.